Stanley, thank you so much for joining me.
You're very welcome.
I'm a big fan of Market Block Books in downtown Troy, and I think like many people during the COVID-19 pandemic, I found myself wanting to hold a book instead of reading it electronically. I was a reluctant Kindle adopter when I was reading the Game of Thrones book, and it was just too heavy to bring on Amtrak as I was commuting all over the state. So now that I've been at home, I've wanted that comfort of holding a book. What has your experience been with the pandemic? Has it affected business at the store?
Well, except for the 2 months that we had to shut down, our sales have been very lively. Our customers have been eager to support us and other local businesses, and they are just wanting to be sure we get their money, and as a result, they get their books as well. It's been an amazing graciousness this year.
I imagine the holiday was both challenging and maybe rewarding.
I'll tell you, December is always the most insane month of the year. It starts with Thanksgiving, and then it just gets crazy right up until the very end. And this year, I have to say, I mistakenly did an interview about buying books online, and our online orders were through the roof, and I could not keep up with it. It was just amazing, the response.
I think this is a really hard time for all of us. I mean, we're approaching 400,000 COVID deaths. We've got a civil war brewing. A lot of people are suffering financially. They're worried about work. They're worried about homeschooling. What should we be reading now? What's new and hot and in the bookstore that people should maybe pick up a copy of?
I read across the board. I like to read a little bit of everything from poetry to science to history and fiction, of course. I sometimes look for books for comfort, and I know a lot of our customers do, but I also look for books to inspire me or enlighten me. So I brought a range of books that may seem a little odd at first, but I think there's some pretty amazing pieces that represent what people have been buying during the month of December.
So tell me about them.
The first book is actually a fairly new book, and no one knows about this book yet in our store because I finished reading it and I am in love with this book. It's called Stories I Forgot to Tell You by Dorothy Gallagher. Dorothy is a writer who lives in New York City, and this is a very small book. It's only 88 pages long, but her writing style is so beautiful and so thoughtful. It's a sense a tribute to her husband who died 10 years ago. But it is exactly what she says. It's things she never got to tell him or wanted to tell him or things she thought of in the last 10 years to tell him. And every chapter has a different focus. So it sort of goes through a grief process. But, you know, after 10 years, the grief process is not as intense as it would be initially. But this book is just lovely. And her husband was a writer named Ben Sonnenberg. And he started Grand Street is the name of the publication he ran until he had to stop doing it because he came down with multiple sclerosis. It's not a book to be afraid of if you have issues with loss and grief, because she doesn't harbor on the sorrow of it all. She does talk about missing him at certain times and how she might go to a thrift store to see if anybody has bought her husband's clothes, or she finds older clothes of his that might have recycled through. It's a curious piece of writing, and her points of view are unique to her style. But I just can't recommend this enough. Lovely, lovely storytelling. Brief chapters. You would think you're just going to blow through it, but you just want to sit quietly. And it's a meditation every chapter.
That sounds really lovely. What's another book that you'd recommend?
I do a lot of walking. I've always been kind of an ambler and walking around town specifically. I usually walk to and from work. And a book came out this past fall called 99% Invisible City. And that is sort of a takeoff on a podcast that these authors do called 99% Invisible. And this is a field guide to pretty much everyday design. He talks about, in this case, things in the city that you might wander around and see things and you don't know what they are, like why manhole covers are a certain way, or why drinking fountains work a certain way, or why are these spray paint markings on the sidewalk? What do those mean when you see those kind of show up and appear? And he goes through this elaborate list of things. I mean, it's totally, I call it nerd-tastic. I mean, it is just for the complete nerd about all kinds of wild design things. It makes me happy just to hold the book in my hand, but let alone to just ponder. And you don't have to read the book straight through. I'm looking at the table of contents. Why certain skyscrapers have certain toppings. So
what a
fun very
book.
Nerdy. It is a fun book. It'll open your eyes as you're walking around town thinking, I'd never noticed that before. It's a joy. I'm a frustrated architect. You know, I always wanted to be an architect as a kid, but clearly that wasn't my calling. So this book is kind of one of those vicarious ways I get to live out that sense of connection to design and even urban planning.
So from urban planning and cities to the natural world, the next book that you picked has to do with fireflies and sharks. Tell me about that book.
Oh my goodness, that book. First of all, the author's name is a bit of a challenge to say. It's Amy Nezukumitadl. And she and her mother and her sister moved to Kansas after living in a much more comfortable climate of California. And her transition to Kansas was a bit of a challenge. So this is at one point a look at all these different interesting creatures around the world, but it's her way of showing how she adapts and fits into a place as strange as Kansas, which is a lot of fun. And the first thing is about the catalpa tree and how her mother says, stay under the catalpa tree so you don't get too dark. So they would wait for the bus under the tree. There was a catalpa tree in front of her mother's job, and that was the focus for why the catalpa tree is so important. But then she talks about the beauty of the catalpa tree and its history. She has one story when she talks about when she was single and dating, she would bring up the corpse flower to people she was dating and see what these guys would say or not say, as the case may be. So it's whatever the response was, she would determine whether they would have a second date or not.
Another nice, whimsical book. One of the things I love about books is that they can teach us how to live our lives better. You brought another book that is great for the times that we're in, particularly those of us who've been completely stressed out since 2020. What is that book?
It's called Breath by James Nestor. I was experiencing a lot of stress when COVID first hit, and I wasn't dealing very well with the stress. And I stumbled upon an interview with this author who talked about how to change your relationship to everything by changing the way you breathe. And he has one of the simple techniques is to breathe 5.5 breaths in, 5.5 breaths out. And after doing that for a month, my stress level completely bottomed out, and I just felt so calm. So this is an amazing book. He talks about how just about everything in our life can be healed by changing the way we breathe. Most of us breathe through our mouths, and that's very bad. So the secret is to learn how to breathe through your nose. But look at this book, Breath by James Nestor. It's a mind-blowing, personally, a life-changing book.
Well, I can't let you get away without talking about some politics. So the next two books that you picked, one of them is by Rachel Maddow, the other one by Joe Scarborough. Tell me about these two books.
Rachel Maddow is all about the chaos and the horror that was caused by Spiro T. Agnew, who was the vice president that took over after Nixon was ousted from office. And even I don't remember this part of the story. I mean, I remember everything about the Nixon administration, but I don't recall this bit, the wild crimes and the audacious cover-up, as the subtitle says, of Spiro T. Agnew. I had no idea this was going on. And this is 1973, so I just graduated from high school. My first year to vote was 1972, so I was really eager to participate in democracy, you know. I haven't read this book yet. I'm eager to read it, though, because it's like right in my wheelhouse for that. This new kid who's just trying to get a sense of politics, and this book is for me.
It's called The Wild Crimes, Audacious Cover-Up, and Spectacular Downfall of a Brazen Crook in the White House. It's about a long-forgotten story in history.
Yes, it's hard to believe. Actually, it's called Bagman is the main title. I just can't get over how much he tried to get away with.
And did, apparently, if we don't have any memory of it.
Yeah, but you know, I do recall that suddenly he didn't exist anymore. I mean, that was my memory even in college. It's like, so whatever happened to that guy?
We're all going to have to read that book and find out how that happened. So what about Saving Freedom? Tell me about this last book that you chose, Saving Freedom.
This one is probably the one that sold the most during the month of December for us. It's the story of when Harry Truman was vice president and Franklin Delano Roosevelt suddenly dies. And so he gets inaugurated as the president of the United States, and he's this kind of plain-spoken guy, and he says, it felt like the moon and the stars and all the planets had fallen on me. He had no idea this was going to happen. And then he's facing this hostile world stage that even as World War II is drawing to a close and the Cold War was around the corner, the Soviets and the U.S. had this uneasy alliance, and he knew there was going to be a problem there. And so he worked on a lot of diplomacy and used military might to kind of challenge Joseph Stalin, who wanted to gain control of Eastern Europe and was looking at the Balkans at this time. So Europe was just liberated from fascism, and there was this future to Europe that was at risk. And so in his mind, freedom was on the line. So he was going to take some action. That's where he brought up the Truman Doctrine, that the United States would support free peoples who were resisting, and this is a quote, resisting attempted subjugation by armed minorities or by outside pressures.
An important book for the times, no doubt.
Absolutely. History has a lot to teach us. I mean, and we just only have to remember that because we're a nation that tends to forget history pretty quickly. I mean, I forgot about Spiro Agnew.
Well, Stanley, I really appreciate you coming to talk to us. Maybe we can have you back again in a few weeks to talk about new books that are coming out for the rest of this momentous year.
It's my pleasure, Corinne.